If you would, turn to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. And I want to read like the first 10 verses. Got to read verse 10. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses, because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak to him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. I'm going to stop right there. Yeah. It's amazing. The title of the message is, to speak against my servant. Now, Walter referenced this, one of his messages a while back, and it kind of stuck in my head, and I got to looking at it the other day, and it just kind of stuck with me. But I do want to state plainly right here, right now, I am not here to preach about race relations. Okay? I am not here to preach the equality of all men and all races. Now, after a manner of speaking, I do believe in the equality of all men and all races. I believe they're all depraved. Every single one, including myself. They are equally all condemned already if they believe not on the Son of the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Unless they believe in the name of the Son of God, and even those who believe in the name of the Son of God, they're still depraved. They're not condemned, but they're still depraved. I firmly believe what the Scripture teaches, that man's old nature has not gone anywhere. It's still in us. Believers are given a new nature, but and they still have that old nature, the old man. All men sin because we are all sinners. I wrote it down. I preach equal opportunity depravity. But, nonetheless, we have this verse here. Let me back up one because that's on the other page. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. the part that the writer starts out with here, which we're told is Moses, is that they spoke against Moses. They'll give us a reason here in a minute. But here's the claim, here's the problem, here's the... They spoke against Moses. Speaking against the servant of God is never a good idea. It doesn't matter who you are or what your motivation is. And speaking against Moses, we are told here in this incident, is an especially bad idea. Now, I do want to be clear. This is not to be mixed up with a rebuke for actions. David, a man after God's own heart, was rebuked by Nathan for what David had done. He told him, "Thou art the man." This was not a rebuke by Miriam and Aaron. This was speaking against Moses. David deserved his rebuke because of what he had done. But it wasn't speaking against David. They were speaking against Moses. But it does say, clearly, because of the Ethiopian woman whom he married. That's the cause of their speaking against Moses. And I do find it significant that Miriam is named first. Mason, I'm not trying to be a misogynist. But I think there's a reason Miriam was named first, and I think there's a reason it was Miriam that was made leprous. But Aaron said it too. It said Miriam and Aaron. I don't think it's an accident of literature, let's put it that way, that Miriam was named first. However, as you'll notice in this whole incident, it's written here in the first verse. This part is never brought up again. It does say that it was because Moses had married an Ethiopian woman. And then it says after that, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. This was their whole cause. And what this cause was, is a sin. And the results of it were that they spoke against Moses. This is why they spoke against Moses. This is the only reason the scripture gives in its entirety of this incident for why they spoke against Moses. And I do want to point this out. The scripture never sugarcoats anything. David was called out because of what he did. Miriam and Aaron here are told this is why they did it. The scripture never ignores the nature of man. It lays it flat out. And it's there, in black and white, to read. She wasn't a Hebrew, and I'm pretty sure Miriam and Aaron didn't like her, but the results of this dislike, to be nice, is that they spoke against Moses. This is why they were upset and offended. It says it. They didn't like who Moses married. But I want to state it a different way. Just slightly. Not changing anything. They did not like the bride of Moses. They did not like whom Moses loved. And I'm going to tell you something, that's dangerous ground. It's very natural, it's in the nature of man, but it's very dangerous ground. Because what they said in verse 2, And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. And we're told why they were saying this. But here's what they said. This is what comes out. This is speaking against Moses. Sure. God spoke by Moses, but he also spoke by us. Now, I don't know if it is to you, but it also, it sounds awfully familiar to me when you look ahead a couple of chapters to number 16, when you read about a guy by the name of Korah and 215 others. It said all the people are holy. But this is Miriam and Aaron. Aaron's the high priest. He ought to know better. He's going to know better, because they're going to get a lesson here from the Lord shortly to put it out. But this was the speaking against Moses. Moses is not that special. We're special too. And the Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. Now the Lord hears everything. He is everywhere. He knows everything. But this means he paid special attention to this. When they were denigrating Moses. Now, it doesn't say when it was said, where it was said, or how it was said. It could have been whispered amongst themselves. It could have been in a family gathering. It may have been at the family picnic, the reunion. It doesn't matter when it was said. It's just the fact that they said it. Then the Lord heard it. And he's going to make very plain that he did not like them speaking against Moses. Then we look, and it does say that the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come ye out, these three, to the tabernacle of the congregation. Come on down, and we're going to talk about it. Actually, I'm going to talk, and you're going to listen. That's usually the way these things go when the Lord is speaking. That's the way it's supposed to go. And he says, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak to him in a dream. This is how the Lord dealt with prophets in the Old Testament. They were given a message from God. But he says it was either in a dream or in a vision. But then it says, My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. God said Moses was different here. I like the way Young's Literal Translation, it says, the way it puts it, it says, Not so my servant Moses. He's faithful. Steadfast in all mine house, is the way it puts it. Not so my servant Moses. Moses was not just a prophet. Moses was more. Now, God said Moses was different. But we know Moses was no better naturally than any other man. It's evident in here, in his life, in his testimony that he wrote down. Moses was certainly not more than human. He was a sinner who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But why was Moses different? There's only one reason. God said so. God said so. I just read it. Not so, my servant Moses. I got prophets. I talked to the prophets. But not so, my servant Moses. The only difference between Moses and the others was that God made a difference. And he tells us how it came about, or what, not how it comes about, but he told us how he is different. Verse 8 says, with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. Moses was the one that the Lord used, the Lord chose to lead his people out of Egypt. He is a type of Christ in that he is a type of deliverer of the people of God. That's the difference here that the Lord's pointing out. And I want to tell you something very clearly, very plainly. I'll state it here, I'll state it at the end, and probably state it in the middle again. The Lord will not have his son spoken against, even in type. He will not have it. He will not have it. The Lord made a special relationship with Moses. That's why there was one. It wasn't anything better about Moses than anyone else. But if the Lord says, not so my servant Moses, he's different. With him I'll speak mouth to mouth. That's what it is. Moses here is a type of Christ. He was going to speak to him mouth to mouth, face to face. That's what he said about Abraham. I spoke to Abraham face to face as a man speaketh with his friend. And it says, with an appearance, even apparently. That's what that means. With an appearance. And not in dark speeches, not in riddles, not in dreams, not in visions. I'm going to speak to this man mouth to mouth. I have been speaking to this man mouth to mouth. With an appearance. And by that meaning, not in a vision, not in a dream. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. I like that. I'd look that up though. The form of him shall Moses behold. The Lord had a special relationship with Moses, and it was totally of the Lord's doing. Moses wasn't looking for God on the backside of the desert. The Lord found him. And the Lord made him. And he made him into a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's here for our edification. Now, it doesn't mention the name of Moses' wife here. And Walter, I did that thing where you look at commentaries. They can say a lot of weird things. Most of them, not most of them, but some of them say that it's not Zipporah, the one we know about. Because they're saying that Moses divorced her. I don't know where they get any of this stuff, because it's not in the scriptures. Okay? The only wife I know of that Moses had is Zipporah. That's the only one that's in the scriptures. And Zipporah was a Midianite. She was the daughter of that guy. I haven't forgot his name. Jethro, the priest. And Midian is in Cush. And the other translations, some of the other translations, actually in the definition of that word, Ethiopian, where they've got it, Cushite. So, why they want to do this, I don't know. But some of them really didn't want it to be Zipporah. The other thing was, the reason they were mad at the woman he married was because the woman he married was getting involved in the business of choosing, helping, picking not picking, but influencing Moses on which of the 70 elders he picked when they were naming 70 elders. I don't know where they get any of that either. All we have here is that they spoke against a type of Christ because of his bride. They didn't like his bride, and they spoke against him. Miriam and Aaron's displeasure with Moses because of the wife he married led them to speak against Moses. And I got to thinking about this, and I have seen this. And this is one reason why I wanted to preach this, try to, is because I have seen some, and they have been here. There are some who will speak against the bride of Christ. They will speak against the people of God. And because, for some reason whatsoever, they don't like someone that comes to church, a believer, they will separate themselves from the rest of the people of God. That's wrong. And that is speaking against Christ. To despise his bride or any part of it is to despise his body. The church is his body. He's the head. We are the member. So despise his bride is to despise him. And I'll tell you this, the Lord will not have it. Verse 9 says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. God will not have anyone speak against his son, even in type. You're not going to speak against the type of Christ. And very clearly, throughout this whole incident, the Lord never once mentions Moses' wife. Never once is her name mentioned or the cause mentioned ever again, other than what it is in verse 1. Why? Christ and his bride are one. Ephesians 5, verses 29 to 23, it talks about these two shall be one flesh. And this is a great mystery. But I speak according concerning Christ and his church. We sing a song, Christ and his bride appeared as one. That's the truth of Scripture. And Christ's bride has been redeemed. What is it? And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And we are made one body. His body. If you're offended by the bride of Christ, the problem is with us. The problem's with you. It doesn't matter who they are. They are out of every kindred, tribe, nation under heaven. That's a fact. To speak against Christ is sin. To be offended at Christ because of his bride is also sin. He is the head of the body, and we are members in particular. To be against his bride is to be against him. Now, some people may say, I don't see it that way. Well, it doesn't matter what you say. The Lord sees it that way. And I said it, even in type. How do you think he feels about it in reality today? Not just in type. I mean, this was real. This was reality. They did speak against Moses. And Miriam was turned leprous. Now, she was sent without the camp, and I'm assuming she came back. Fine. But this actually did happen. The bride of his only begotten, well-beloved son right now is beloved of God in him. Brethren, beloved of the Lord. What does this mean? It means to be offended by his bride is to be offended by the bridegroom. And it will be manifest in speaking against him. And I'll say this again. The Lord will not have it. There are consequences for any thoughts or actions against Christ and his bride. There are things that are known about those who are offended by the bride of Christ, the church, the members of his body. It's known to be deathly serious. There are things said that John wrote about anyone who hates his brother. Strong language. It's a sin to hate your brother. Notice very carefully, it doesn't matter the reason. It doesn't matter the reason. 1 John 2:9 says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Verse 11 said, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. 1 John 3:15 says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. 1 John 4:20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Mason, all those are from the Apostle of Love, as they call John. Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call us his brethren. We are called the bride of Christ. We are called his body, his church. John does tell us the one reason. And this is what's scary about this. It says they are in darkness now. They walk in darkness. They are murderer. They do not have eternal life. But that last verse says there's only one reason they hate their brother. They don't love God. That's what it says. It's a serious thing. Now, I'm not talking about being vexed or upset or offended. I can probably do all those things. This is talking about someone who has hatred for one whom Christ loves. The Lord will not have it. we've seen people leave here. And they have left here because of what we said, because of what I've preached, because of what Walter's preached, because of what Earl preached before us. God won't have it. It manifests their rebellion against Him and His Word. That's all it is. It's a manifestation. They're offended by His Word and by our speaking it. I can't help it. This Word is all we have. His Word is all we have. And I remember being in meetings and meeting others who love this Word. And they are my brothers and sisters in Christ also. Can't fathom anymore, Mason. I used to be able to. I used to avoid people like me, like the plague. And people like you, like the plague. But I can't fathom it anymore. I don't understand it anymore. And I don't want to understand how it can be done. I want to love my brethren. I want to love my Lord, and I want to gather together with a people of God. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again this time and this place. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, for all that He did, all that He is doing. To us, for us, in us, around us. Thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.